Hello, believers. Welcome to a retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, back when it was called Wings Radio. I had originally planned to re-record this series, but at this point, I just cannot foresee having the time to get that done. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and this week, we're going to continue our series, Hindrances on the Pathway to Promotion. This week is test number 4, which is the test of submission. I apologize, my voice is a little bit hoarse. Pollen has started to come out in Texas, so everybody's having reactions to it. But we're continuing our study on the test on the pathway to promotion that the Lord revealed in the story of Joseph. And the test of submission is an extremely important test. All the tests are important, but submission, you cannot be promoted to any position of authority until you pass the submission test. Submission is almost a dirty word in today's society, isn't it? Nobody ever wants to submit. We've been taught we can have it all and we can have it our way. But guess what? You can't have it your way with God. If you want God's best, you're only going to get it by going His way. There is an African-American woman listening to this show. You've been struggling in your circumstances for a long time, and it's like there's a big wall around you that you can't climb over. You've asked the Lord again and again why you don't have a breakthrough. You've tried spiritual warfare. You've tried confessing scriptures. You've tried everything in your situation, but nothing is working. Woman of God, this show is bringing your answer. The Lord says to tell you that you cannot climb over nor break down a wall I build. He is saying to tell you that your refusal to submit to His plan is keeping that wall in its place, and that it will stay there if necessary, He is saying, for the rest of your life until you get this. You must submit yourself under my mighty hand, says God, or you will not move from the place where you are. Obey me, He is saying. He sounds a little bit fed up, so you must have been in this situation for quite a while, and by now you are surely frustrated. Even though you are a woman of faith, but you're trying to go where God doesn't want you to go. And His mercy is stopping you. After you obey, He is showing me, He will show you why that was not His will for you. The reason is a very big one, and you will be very glad you obeyed. He says, stop fighting me now. Okay, test 4, hindrances on the pathway to promotion, the test of submission. Joseph was sold into slavery. At 17 years old, completely and absolutely betrayed by his older brothers who conspired against him, he was traumatically and suddenly stripped of his beautiful coat of favor that his father Jacob had given him and sold to strangers on their way to Egypt, where he was sold to the captain of Pharaoh's guard, Potiphar. In one day, he went from being the favorite son of a very rich man to being a mere slave in a foreign country where he could not even understand what they were saying to him. All he had to hold on to was God. But you know what the good news is? When you get down to where you don't have anything but God, you find out that God really is all you need. So Joseph had to learn in the blink of an eye how to submit to the authorities who now owned him, all the while dealing with trauma and homesickness. What exactly does it mean to submit? Let's look at the first mention of submit in the Bible. It's in Genesis 16. I'm going to read you verses 8 through 10. And he said, and this is the angel of the Lord, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. Now Sarai was Abram's wife, later became Abraham and Sarah. And Sarai had given her maid, Hagar, to Abraham, to then Abram, to see if she could obtain children through them. Under Newsy law, which was the law they were living under in that area, if you could not give a child to your husband, you were actually required to provide a concubine to him, and it was usually a handmaiden, so that he could have heirs. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. In other words, you return to her and do what I tell you, even though she was kind of abusive to you, and I will make sure that you have many, many descendants, that can't, so many they can't even be numbered. And that was the mark of God's blessing on your life back then. Submit in Genesis 16:9 comes from a Hebrew word that means to submit oneself, to oppress, to depress, to afflict, especially to God. So to submit yourself for oppression, depression, and affliction, especially to God. Submission means to yield or give in and allow these things to happen to you. Basically, things you don't necessarily want or enjoy happening, especially for God's higher purposes. Sarai, then, was married to Abram, and she was under a desperate social stigma because she could not bear children. When Hagar became pregnant, after Sarai had tried for so many years and not become pregnant, she became kind of contemptuous of Sarai, like, ha, see, God's blessing me, but he didn't bless you. And, you know, Sarai was further humiliated by the way her own handmaiden treated her. And so she began to be very harsh with Sarai. She was using her position as the privileged wife to abuse the handmaiden that she herself had given to Abraham to bear children for her. So Hagar made for the hills. She said, I'm out of here. I'm not going to deal with this. And in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord comes to Hagar and says, you know, the Lord wants you to go back and to submit. Although Ishmael, who was later born to Hagar, was not the promised child that the Lord promised to Abraham and Sarah, Hagar, being pregnant, has no visible means of support. She didn't have a job. You know, her job is to be a handmaiden. She's sold as basically a slave. She's completely alone. She's an outcast. She's cut off from her own people. She has no way to be supported unless she does return to Abraham and Sarah. So anyway, it's possible, too, that the Lord wanted Hagar to return to Sarah and submit because Hagar had been so prideful after she became pregnant. She had been so prideful against, you know, her master's wife, which was very much in rebellion. It's not submissive at all, not a godly behavior. There are several stories of people failing the submission test in the Bible. One is in the book of Esther, the story of Queen Vashti. Also, Vashti, the queen, made a feast for the women in the royal house which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, these are hard to pronounce, Zethar and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next son to him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and which set the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say, this day unto all the king's princes which have heard of the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. While we are never told for sure why Vashti refused to come at the king's command, it is possible that Vashti refused to appear because she would have been humiliated in some way in being displayed before a palace full of drunken officials. After all, the king and his men had been feasting and drinking for 7 days. Queen Vashti did not submit, and her promotion was taken away from her. Whenever God promotes us to higher levels, we are given more responsibility, more blessings, and exposure to more people. Exposure to more people who are seeking truth in a world that is sadly devoid of positive role models. While none of us are perfect and never will be until Jesus comes back to get us, We need to strive every hour of every day to walk as He did, to obey to the very best of our ability, and to always walk in humility before all mankind and set the best example we can set for anyone who happens to be watching us. Our lives will be the only Bible some people ever read, y'all. The submission test will come before promotion, but it will also come after it. Sometimes to see if you're ready for more, sometimes to see if you're still submitting yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't be a Vashti and lose your position. She must have lost everything because there are no historical records at all to tell us anything else about her. And that means that that one refusal cost her everything. Just one time of not submitting to authority. We have to remember that the authorities that are over us, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them or not, were put in place by God. The scripture tells us that. You can read that for yourself in Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The devil will always try to tell you just one time won't hurt about any sin, whether it's refusal to submit or any other sin you do. Oh, just this one time won't hurt. That is always a blatant lie, and you should reject it every time you hear it. Jonah's one refusal cost him 3 days in the smelly belly of a stinky whale. And after stomach acids ate at him, I'm sure he probably had lifelong scars to remind him of the experience, too. Never say no to the Spirit of God. Refusing to submit is pride, and we all know where pride will land us, don't we? Right in the wilderness. Not a fun place, y'all. In fact, it's the most terrifying of places. So let's go over how do we pass the test of submission. We know for sure Joseph passed it because he was promoted to second in command of all of Egypt, which was at the time the most powerful nation in the entire world. Okay, step one, obey the authorities that are over you. Now, notice that this scripture does not say unless you disagree with them. It doesn't say anything about whether you disagree with them or you agree with them. The only time you should not obey an authority over you is if God has commanded you not to do something. If they say go out and kill a person and God has said thou shalt not kill, then you don't kill. But also note that thou shalt not kill does not mean just kill. There are two different words for kill in the Bible, and one of them means just to kill like you're in a war or to kill something. Like if you're getting something to eat. The other one means to do premeditated murder. The one in the commandment means to do premeditated murder. So don't get those mixed up. If you have a boss and they say, I want you to sit here and plan how to go murder this guy and go murder him for me, and this is part of your job, obviously that is not something you would submit to because that's wrong. In God's eyes, it's wrong. Ephesians 6:5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. And 1 Peter 5, 5-7 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Okay, step two, be conscientious in all you do. We want everything we do to be like we're doing it for Jesus, whatever job you're doing. If you're sweeping a floor, if you're cleaning a toilet, whatever you're doing, do it like you're doing it for the Lord, because He's paying attention. Step three, do not render eye service. I researched this word, eye service. And it means, basically, don't do the level of sloppy work that requires somebody to have to watch you all the time to be sure you do it right. Don't be negligent. Don't be careless or slovenly in your work. Do good quality work. And this means regardless of what y'all are paid, y'all. There's a man listening to this broadcast. You've been doing poor work because you feel that you're grossly underpaid for what you do. So you decided that you would give your employers what you feel they're paying you for. But you yourself agreed to do that job at that price, so you are doing wrong. The Lord says you make that right now, or He will expose your shoddy work, and you will suffer loss because of it. And I see He does mean financial loss. He wants you to work hard at that job and to go over and above what they require or ask of you. He is saying, obey me. You have asked me for something very special, but I will not grant it without absolute obedience to me. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Step 4, do God's will from the heart. From the heart means He doesn't want you to just meet the obligation and just do good enough, but He wants you to really do something well, like do it like you enjoy it. Do it like you're doing it for yourself. Do the job as if you were doing it for your own company. Enjoy doing it well and want it to be the best that it can be. That's the kind of submission that God rewards. Step 5, render cheerful service to men as you would to the Lord. Just do it like you're doing it for Him. Do it like you're doing, like Jesus is standing there giving you the order to do it. Step 6, recognize that if you are not properly recompensed by man, you will be by God. Whatever you do that you are not paid for on earth or paid enough for, God will pay you back for that. Ephesians 6:8 says, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." So whether you're a free person or a slave or a servant, God will pay you back. Colossians 3:24 and 25 says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Too often we worry that we are not going to get what we deem as rightfully ours, when really we just need to stop thinking about ourselves and cast that care on the Lord like He told us to. And for those of you who are leaders, the same guidelines apply, and also not to threaten those you supervise. Ephesians 6:9 says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." God doesn't care if you're a boss or an employee. It matters not to Him, but He cares how we treat people. The Lord will test your willingness to submit before He will promote you to higher levels. Often the test will be given in a way that also tests your integrity. Let me explain with an illustration to help you remember. We might be like the salesman that I read about. He was waiting to see the purchasing agent so he could submit his company's bid. While he was waiting, he couldn't help but notice that his competitor's bid was sitting on the purchasing agent's desk. Unfortunately, the actual figure for the competitor's bid was covered by a Coke can. And he got to thinking, well, how could it hurt if, you know, he just took a quick look? No one would ever need to know. So he reached over and lifted the Coke can. But his heart sank as he watched thousands of BBs pour out from the bottle's can and scatter across the desktop. It was a test set up by the purchasing agent, and he failed it. Needless to say, he didn't get their business. The submission test will knock on the door of every person who is being considered for promotion, and it will knock again and again to see if you can handle the promotion you've been given and to see if you're ready for a new one. The question is, will you pass this test, or will you hinder your own promotion? This is a question of pride, y'all. Pride got me return trips to the wilderness that were more numerous than I would like to recount. And the Lord told me very plainly. He said, "If you get into pride again, I will take you back there." And I said, "Lord, I'm going to police this thing. Believe me, I am going to police this thing. I'm on it. I will be happy to humble myself, so you don't need to humble me." He will do that to every one of us, because a father who loves his children will chasten his children and correct them. He loves us enough not to leave us the way we are when the way we are is wrong. And I'm very thankful for that. Although I don't enjoy trips to the wilderness, I'm very thankful that He didn't leave me the way I was when He saved me. Before you go through any refining, you think you're ready for everything. You think you're ready for promotion. You think you're ready to minister to other people. You think everything that you're ready, because the devil lets you think that in your pride. But the truth is, only God knows when we're ready, because only He can see into our hearts. Pay attention to the submission test. Submit where you're supposed to submit. Submit to the authorities that are over you. Do your work as unto the Lord so you can pass the test and get promoted. And after you're promoted, continue to remain humble, and humble yourself, or God will humble you. And it's not fun, y'all. I'm telling you, it is not fun. Continue to police your own humility and make sure that you stay under His hand, and He will exalt you in due time. Thanks for listening. God bless you. I hope y'all all have a great week. I hope you enjoyed this retro episode of Just Praise Him Radio, which used to be Wings Radio. Join me again next week for more Just Praise Him Radio. God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.